our voices. Born from the need to feel connected to voices strong and uncollected. From island shores to distant lands, we reach across with open hands. Pacifica Wire, connecting our voices, lifting every voice higher, on air and online. We're tuning in together, no matter the weather, united we inspire. Pacifica Wire, from the heart of the industry to your home and family, with new tech and legacy, we share our destiny. We laugh and we learn, we cry and we cheer. Though miles apart, we're always near. The same show, the same time, a rhythm, a style. Pacifica Wire, lifting every voice higher. Stories told side by side, on air and online. Com.
Six Planet FM on a Saturday afternoon. It's Pacifica YPW Live coming to you here on a very windy Aokilangi, Auckland. It's a little bit windy out there, so if you're out and about on the roads, please do take care and drive safely. We're all about connecting our voices, and this person personifies connection. If you're listening, I know you are. You've heard this when this gentleman is on fire, when he is master of ceremonies, when he is leading an event. This is his go-to song, and I tell you, it just takes the room to another level, whether it's a wedding, 21st, it's a function. You know who I'm talking about. We were very privileged a couple of years ago to have this gentleman join us on Pacifica Wire, our podcast, in our early days of infancy, and that was when he received the Queen's Service Medal for services to the Pacific community, and he continues to serve, and he's just an all-round nice guy. We are so lucky because he's in the studio with us. Ma'a Brian Sangala. Ma'a, Ma'alo lover, it's so good to see you.
Ma'alo soifua, Sister Gladys. Thank you so much to you and Gary for the opportunity and inviting me to be part of Pacifica Wire today here at Planet FM 104.6. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Always good to reconnect, Sister. Good, good, good. Thank you.
It is good to see you. I think the last time we saw each other, we were on a plane to Samoa.
Yes, we were. That's right, eh?
That's the last time I saw you.
I think that'll tell me a scene, though, wasn't it? No.
No, we. I saw you during the visit.
So, yes.
And I think we were going to visit family, but you were actually going to
MC an event.
Yes, I was blessed to MC an event. I think we're looking at about September last year. Ah,
yes.
That's it. Yeah.
Yes.
So I was blessed to be invited to host to MC a wedding at Taumiasina Resort.
Yes.
Sorry about Taumiasina Resort, eh, Gladys? Sorry about that. But yeah, it was beautiful. Had a great time. And as you say, it's always such a great honour to be invited to host, to MC, to lead events. And it's something that I never tire of, even after 30-something years of doing it. So, yeah, it was good.
And look, you're a broadcaster as well, event specialist. You've continued, you know, from the last time we talked. Take us back to that decision when you knew this was, this is what you were meant to do.
Mm. So at the end of August last year, Gladys, I left Pacific Media Network after 9 years on 531 PI, and it was such a great season for my life.
Mm.
Went for a few months. There were plans afoot for our family to do things overseas, and that fell through. But in hindsight, when I look back, it was actually a godsend, because I didn't realise just how wound up, as broadcasters working in the media landscape, like any industry, if you commit yourself too much.
Yeah.
Okay. Hashtag shout out to all our workaholics out there.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. You know, you don't know the sort of toll until you actually finish.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, yeah, cool, straight into the next thing. But I found for a few months I actually had to defrag because of all the sort of work, you know, it being self-produced 7 out of the 9 years, thousands and thousands of Talanoa with Pasifika from around the global diaspora and that. But then after a bit of a break and then being on benefit, hashtag work and income, I was like, hey, you better do something. And so I thought, well, I've been doing MCing ad hoc over 30-something,
yeah,
you know, 30 years, so why not just make it my full-time business? And so I've been blessed since January this year, Gladys, to be able to MC full-time. But it's not just MCing, having other opportunities. And in fact, last week, or 2 weeks ago, I actually shot a TV commercial. So
yes,
just having the flexibility,
yeah,
to be able to go out and, you know, explore all the different opportunities,
yeah,
that I'm blessed to, you know, well, the Lord opens the doors for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was thinking, you know, when you made that big move after being such a staple at 531 PMN, was that a hard decision?
It was, but it wasn't. I felt that at the time, it was a decision, which, you know, a faith decision, and we stepped out on that. And so it was hard. I don't know if there's still footage on 531PI Facebook page, but you can see the reaction from me being my very last show, at the time, Pacific Days, co-hosting with Fijian sister Nemai Tangizakimbao, just how overcome I was because of the joy working at PMN at 531 PI. And it was really hard, but there was a season, and we have seasons in our lives, and that was a very great season.
Yeah. And, you know, you haven't slowed down, you haven't stopped yet. How hard was it to make that initial, I'm going to go out on my own, I'm going to create my own business?
Yeah.
You had the full backing of your family?
Yeah, because I'm not a business person by nature. This is the first time in my 54 years on earth that I've actually taken this leap of faith to be a business owner. And so currently I'm a sole trader, but I'm so thankful that there are tools such as Henry. So I've signed up to Henry, hashtag Henry, for anyone listening, a sole trader, and anyone, it takes care of all your taxes. So whenever I get paid, I invoice, and then the client, the payment doesn't actually come to me, it goes directly to my Henry Associated Bank account, and then from there they take out all the PAYE, ACC and their fee, and then it gets transferred into my business account. So it's like working, but not, but it's the timing, maybe not especially in our current economic climate, Archie. Yeah. So I didn't really think about that. But again, so thankful that just taking that leap of faith, doors have been opening. I took a quick count before I came here on my amazing spreadsheet called Wall Planner. Oh. And I've done about maybe 20-something. We're nearing like 30 events since March this year to date, wow. Gladys. So, yeah.
Jeez. Have you had a rest in between?
I do actually rest. I mean, the work ethic is the work ethic. Mm. The work ethic is modelled after our parents. We see how hard they work, eh? And yeah. So that's all I know. But it's even though working just as hard as I was when I was at PMN or any of my other jobs, still have actually quite a bit of time to just to be able to do things like every day, have time to go and walk our dogs, Snoopy and SJ.
Aww.
You know, and it's good. And again, having that flexibility, being my own boss, where maybe I couldn't have explored other opportunities in a sort of 9-to-5, but now, again, as my own boss, as a sole trader in that, I can go and explore all these great opportunities.
Gosh. I was thinking about, like, we're in our 50s.
Yes.
And we've sort of, like, turned different directions. Scary. Like,
it is. How was it for you?
When it happens for me, I'll let you know.
Okay. Okay. Honeymoon phase?
What? Still. Yeah, okay. Infancy. Do you find that that's happening more now, that people are coming to, I'd say, our age group and thinking, you know what? I don't have to, and nothing against a 9-to-5, not at all, but, you know, reaching out and thinking, I could try something different.
I read a study, I don't know if it was earlier this year or last year, that the numbers of people in our season, 50 and over, that are venturing out and, you know, becoming their own bosses and starting their own businesses has increased significantly over the last 10, 15 years.
Wow.
I don't know what it is. Maybe, it's that we've done the 9-to-5, we have the lived experience, and now it's really just like, nah, man, I just want to, okay, TBHA, I don't know how much longer I've got on this earth. So it's like, man, you know what? If not now, when?
Yeah.
If not me, who?
Absolutely. And like you were talking about, our parents played huge, you know, parts in our lives and continue to, even though many of our parents have passed on. That work ethic you talked about, did it help you forge where you are going now?
Mm, most definitely. For me, and this is maybe quite common for many of our generation, Gladys. When I was younger, while all my friends were playing primary school, intermediate, even during the school holidays, I'd actually be in the classrooms actually helping my parents doing the cleaning. So at the age of 10, I was very expert in the buffing machine. You remember the buffing machine and that? And it's quite funny, one of those memories where I'd be in the classroom doing the buffing of the floors and looking out, and in the playground I see all my mates from the local area just playing and just looking out and going, oh yeah, but I didn't know any better. But I really believe the example, the model that our parents set for me, I'm not someone that has, you know, any degrees as such, but I believe having that work ethic, again, modelled after my parents, and I see them working 2-3 jobs and coming home and still putting food on the table, roof over our head, actually put me in good stead for my future. Any job that I've ever worked, I've always had this thing where, okay, I want to, A, do the best that I can do, and B, if and when I do leave that job, that I will leave on a good note so that if I ever do need to come back to a former employer, that they'll say, oh, yeah, we remember Brian. He was a good worker. And so those little things, which make a big difference, again, modelled after our parents, huh?
Yeah. And for you, Wellington, that's home?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up, Gladys. So I am a very proud product of Porirua. Mm-hmm. So born and raised in Ascot Park. And as many will know that have ever seen me MC, I always like to highlight my my CV. So born and raised in Ascot Park, attended Tairangi Kindergarten, Rangikura Primary School, Waitangirua Intermediate and Aotea College. And so I always look back where I am now. Mm. I always feel, even though I left at the age of 18, for me, everything that I'm doing now is pretty much forged in the cauldron that was the 70s growing up in Porirua with everything, my family, church, shout out to E Whakasa, Waihemo, Yuritana, Lonise Tanielu, all the many friends, family that I had. And every time when I'm stepping out, hosting, emceeing, and that, it's almost like a picture or representation of me as a person growing up in Porirua in the 1970s. So in a lot of ways, maybe I haven't even left that 18-year-old, even though I'm 54. So, yes.
As young as you feel.
Yeah, it's just a number.
It's just a number. And numbers, like you've talked about the emceeing and events you've done, but you've also, you're an actor, you're an entertainer.
Mm.
So you've just continued to widen your scope. How's that been?
It's been really good, Gladys. Again, I mentioned earlier that I shot, I don't know if I mentioned it when we were off or on air, but a television commercial which I shot about 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
So as part of, you know, starting up my own business, I re-signed up with my agent, shout out to Robert Bruce Agency. And so from January, February this year, was submitted for about 18 auditions. I got to audition for 6 and got called back for 2. And so the latest one that I got called back to, thankfully, I got picked, and it was an amazing experience. There's nothing like being on a film set. But the way I see it, Gladys, is that whatever you've been blessed with, whatever talent you've been blessed with in that, it's just like the parable of the talents. If you go out and you're faithful and you do the most that you can. I've only been blessed maybe with one gift. I can use this. I do all this. But I found that as I'm faithful with the gift that I've been blessed with, again, doors and opportunities to be able to serve, because that's the way I always see it, serving in the gifting that you've been blessed with. And it's not anything that I can take credit for. I'm not formally trained in public speaking and that, but again, it's just a gift, a little seed, a little gift that I've been faithful with, and being faithful leads to opportunities and opening doors.
Are you seeing more Pasifika going into that field of having an agent, going into acting, television? Are you seeing more and more?
Well, I haven't been in the industry. Right. I've done much work in the industry, say like 20 or so years. But for goodness sake, you know, there's so many creatives in the Pasifika space and in the industry. I mean, you look at the global success of Tina, I think currently doing the rounds over in the States.
Right, yeah.
It was Beulah Kwale. I loved that he did a little TikTok or a Instagram or that, and he was putting a shout out to The Rock, Sayuli Dwayne The Rock Johnson, to come along with his mum and to experience Tina. You look at projects like Chief of War with Jason Momoa and that. He said in an interview about how he's always looked at New Zealand as the hotbed of Polynesian creativity, because what we've taken for granted here, in that we have been in so many different spheres as Pasifika, of course, taking into account we have the largest, I believe we still have the largest Polynesian population in the world, where, you know, we've been doing this for decades and decades, versus maybe for other Polynesian brothers and sisters, even our indigenous communities around the world, maybe don't have those opportunities just because of our sheer numbers, and many that have pioneered, that have forged the way for others to follow in their footsteps.
I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you and I are both used to, you know, and Gary, a radio setup, you know, and now we've got cameras, we've got phones, we've got all these different,
we've got TikTok Live,
TikTok Live. How do you do it? Because I can share. I've said this many times. Mm. I like and share. That's about all I know how to do. How did you do it?
I don't know how to do it, Gladys, but the thing is, it's just... I suppose, like, when I was working at 531, it was you learn on the go.
Yeah.
Things like being able to live stream across, multi-live stream across pages, cutting up audio for podcasting.
Right.
So maybe, again, not so much formal training, but then learning, leaning on experts such as George Siosi Mangatonga and that, Louis,
yes,
to be able to learn and then apply it yourself, even with social media. So before February, I didn't have much of a social media footprint at all. But I think the thing I knew, mm-hmm, I knew enough to know, is that if I'm going out on my own, having a profile which can then lead to leads, which are going through my website, which was another thing, you know, creating a website. And shout out to my son Caleb's mate Eddie Chai, who helped, you know, create my website and that.
Awesome.
But I think it's just that, you know what it is, G? Not waiting till it's perfect.
Nice.
You know, just going out with whatever you have.
Yeah.
And then just being consistent. So if you look at any of my posts, there's no, I don't do like transitions or effects or anything like that. No. Mm. It's just pretty much I'll get some clips, put it together in the app or on my Samsung phone, and then just post it up like that. But a lot of gigs that I do when I have the opportunity are my daughter Glory.
Nice.
Glory Sangala, yes, my social media manager.
Nice.
She didn't want to come today, but... when
sure,
she feels
Glory.
Like it, eh? When she feels like it, she'll come along and she takes care of that part.
Right.
But it's just consistency, I find. But you know one thing, G? I never realised, when you're consistently posting on social media, you got a lot of your fans, but then you get a lot of the random... And I was like, oh my gosh, my own people. Just some of the comments that I've received online through some of my posts. And none of my content is controversial at all.
Mm.
My general rule of thumb is if my kids, my grandkids can watch it, or that's my sort of guide. Anything I post, it's all family friendly, and again, it's just promoting my business. But then you just find people coming out. But the funny thing, that you don't need to hide behind a profile user 12458 97. If you're gonna throw shade or smack with him, hey, be your real self and just go online and own it. Yeah,
keyboard warriors.
Yeah, and so after I cry for about 2 hours in the wardrobe,
as you do,
then I come back out and I'm ready to face the world again. No, you know. Oh, sorry, G, because I just had a thought. It's the thing I read years ago, a biography, Matthew Ridge, Warriors, Auckland, All Blacks, Kiwis player.
That's right.
And I paraphrase this excerpt from his book. It's not that he doesn't care what people think of him, but he doesn't allow what people think to stop him from pursuing his goals and dreams. And I thought, man, I like that. So every time I read a comment, it's just the way that I am. I wear my heart on my sleeve. But then I keep on carrying on.
Is that hard, though? Because I know if I saw a comment, I would be,
Oh, yeah. Well, it's human nature. People talk about having a hard skin and that. But, man, I'm human.
Yeah.
And especially, again, if I see it's from one of my fellow Samoan or Pacificas, like, come on, man, what did I do to you? But it is what it is. And sadly, you know, online, good, bad, ugly, and different, you can find...
It's a beast on its own, isn't it?
Yes, totally.
Does it ever get lonely?
Lonely?
Like... Ooh. Working for yourself, or sometimes you have to go to gigs on your own and that. Do you ever get that?
Not really. Man, I've never been asked that before. Jack, that's a really good question. Do I ever get lonely? No. Do you know why I don't get lonely? Well, of course, I've got my family.
For sure.
Because they're always at home when I get there.
Yeah.
But I really believe that where I am now, at the age of 54, I'm actually walking, working, running in purpose. You know? So when I'm out doing gigs now... I've always loved it, but I don't know, it's just an added sense of I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Nice, I get that.
Ooh.
Just a share was we lost our dad in 2022, so both my parents have passed, and I must admit I was struggling a little what was my purpose? Because the two people that got me, no longer here. And I was sort of thinking...
So, what, even apart from your sisters?
You know what I mean. No, and my husband. Shout out to you, Gary.
He's literally just there. We love you, Gary.
We love you. But you... Next session will be a therapy session. But you know what I mean in terms of for so long it was like, okay, you know, I'm doing things not just to please my parents, but, you know, sort of that focus. And then, it just sort of resonated when you said finding that purpose.
Well, it's like when my dad passed away. So he passed away in 2009. And I always, like, every time when I was on 531, you know, my sign-off, you know? Love to bury the kids, grandchildren. And then I'd always finish with the line, you know, Dad, we'll see you again someday. So for the longest time, I just missed him so much. The relationship between me and my mum, that's a different story. What's that famous actor from the States and did that was the autobiography titled Dearest Mummy or Mommy?
Wasn't it Joan Crawford?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Well, maybe it's a bit like that. So, but hey, we're still on the journey. So she's currently residing in a rest home in Mangere. And so every week I go and just spend time with her. Yeah. And so I'm working through that, you know, the big T word, eh? T Roma.
The events that you've been emceeing, like you've always done a wide range. What are some of the highlights that you've seen in the last 18 months?
I get asked this question a lot. Every event is unique in its own right, even though emceeing is emceeing. Like, for example, shout out to Marist Juniors Prize Giving Rugby, Marist Rugby Prize Giving, which I emceed just this morning.
I saw that.
So that
online.
Was amazing. So shout out to Peter and the rest of the Marist Marist Rugby Junior Committee, and they had about 12, 15 teams there. And when you look out and you see all these kids and you see a packed club room in there, and you think to myself, I get to do this for a living?
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible. But I must say, the one that comes to mind lately is I was blessed to be part of the game day events team for Moana Pasifika this season in their best season to date.
Yeah.
The funny thing was that I was actually their game announcer in their inaugural season. Coming back this season was amazing. Their final home game in front of 18,000 at North Harbour Stadium.
Wow.
And I remember just standing there and just looking around at a packed crowd and just the atmosphere. And, man, you know our people, the way they celebrate and things like that. And I was, again, here I am on the field thinking, man, this is really good.
Yeah.
But again, hundreds of events over 30 plus years, and they're all beautiful. I suppose I have a soft spot for weddings.
Yes.
Because I've done a number of weddings over the years, and I tell you, I lost count at about maybe 30 or 40 weddings, Gladys. But every time I see that new bride walking down the aisle,
yeah,
it's like, oh my gosh, when are one of my daughters going to get married?
No pressure.
But, no, you know, pressure. Just seeing the bride, it's like, oh. So.
Well, because you were the MC at Alyssa's, niece's wedding. And I was so impressed because Alyssa's married to Dylan, who's South African.
Yes.
And you did all the greetings. I could see they were quite, wow, look at this MC.
And I don't know if you remember, Gladys, but I actually prepared a South African wedding speech.
Yes.
Thank you for asking me to do that again. This is all I remember. Baie dankie en al die familie en vriende, amal wat dit mondelik gemaak het, ondeewelik saam met Dylan en Delisa de Veer. Dat is die tafel die hier gemaak het, laat ontstaan word jy en bly wees, ons spit dat amal gehesende tyd sal het. So it's just, yeah, just a little something for, yeah.
Translation, please.
Let's move on. So what's your next question, Gladys? What's your next question?
You are a consummate professional. What advice were you given years ago that still resonates with you and you've passed on?
Not so much a particular piece of advice, but again, just watching my parents work. And what they modelled in terms of work ethic and attitude. The example that I cite quite a bit is, so many years ago, I was blessed to work at DHL Express. And so I started off in the call centre and then transferred over to the sales team. And I started as cold call marketing and that. And so the task every day was 75 cold calls.
Jeez.
Yeah. And I was getting rejected left, right and centre. But again, because I'm so, because it was a piece of cake, you know, taking into account who my mum is. I was like, you know, people, oh, get lost, blah, blah, blah. Oh, thank you. So just, but, you know, focusing on the goal. So after that, I then transferred into the telesales team.
Okay.
And after about maybe a year or so, so when I first joined the telesales team, nearly half the team either left, got fired, and I was just myself under Alan Brackenbury. Shout out Alan Brackenbury. Just my territory alone, there was about maybe three of us in the team at the time, or four. Shout out Marietta, Noa. I had about maybe 200-300 in just my profile alone. Wow. But that was only because, okay, all these other reps had left and you had to, I just had to do it. And so I'd be clocking up maybe 70, 80 hours a week and stuff. Fast forward, we had a sales conference in Noosa, Sunshine Coast, maybe a year or two after that. And they were calling, we had our awards as part of Australasia and that. And one of them was a tele or salesperson for the whole of New Zealand. And there was a lovely Taiwanese sister by the name of Jenny. Shout out Jenny Yu. Xiexie ni hao ma, huaning ni dao qi li lai. And she was... She was the gun. She was topping all the stats for the every year, for the whole year. And I was like, man, we were, you know, everybody, including myself, we were just looking at Jenny. And then when the call came out, and salesperson for New Zealand, Brian Sagala. And I was like, I looked at Jenny, and I was looking around and going, is this a mistake? But it was a name. So the way that it worked out, thank you, Father. Jenny joined outside of the qualifying period just a month out. I didn't even realize this until, you know, later. And so I was always like either second or third or there.
Oh,
so going into our sales conference, everybody knew it was going to be Jenny, only to hear Brian Zagler. So as I was walking up, because only maybe about a year or two after Dad had passed, and for me it was still quite raw.
For sure.
I'd be walking up to the stage, but in my mind's eye, I could see my dad, I could see my mum, I could see my brothers, I could see all my family in there. And I wasn't overly emotional, which was surprising to me, but I just had the biggest smile, like, man, a kid from Ascot Park in Porirua, here, salesperson for the whole of New Zealand. And I was like, come on now, come on.
But why would you be surprised?
Oh, I'm surprised. No, surprised because in that I wasn't expecting to win, of course.
Right, of course.
But the joy then going up, and of course it takes a village to raise a child, the success that I had in that moment, it wasn't mine as an individual.
Gotcha.
It was the success of my parents, my grandparents, all my ainga, all my friends, my family, my schools, everybody that sowed into my life. So when I went up... in that moment, it was like just joy knowing that, man, I'm representing. I'm in standing here as an individual, but behind me are scores and scores of people who've sowed into my life.
I wanted to, because you've continued that journey, when you received the Queen's Service Medal for your services to Pacific community. I just remember when I heard your name, I saw it, I read it, I just was like, wow. That you were my claim to fame, you know, it was seeing that someone who has just worked so hard. What was that like for you when you got the news?
Well, it's exactly just like the story I shared,
right?
Won that sales award, but a bit different on the day. So as my name was announced after they read out the citation and I'm walking up, at the time Berta was there and my cousin Longo, so because I think you can only invite 3 to 5 people. And so this time it's the same exact thing, but it was more focused on my dad. You know, a guy from the backwaters of Samoa, from the beautiful villages of Vaie'e, Sawhaka, coming to New Zealand, his education not exceeding primary school level, working how many jobs, factory, bakery, worked at construction companies and that. And I just thought, man, Dad, you know, we did it.
Yeah.
Hey, we did it. Not me, but if it wasn't for my, you know, for my dad, if it wasn't for our parents, hey, I always like to share this a lot, especially with our younger members, because primarily the events I do are in the Pacifica space.
Mm.
So at some point or time, I always like to highlight just the sacrifice of those that have come before us, the groundwork they laid, the foundation they laid upon which we are now benefiting from, but we should never lose sight, should never forget the sacrifices that contributed to where we are now and the opportunities that are afforded to us in our generation.
Mm. What do your children make of all of this?
Gary, can you please go turn off TikTok right now? No. Okay, stay there. You know, Gladys, and if I start crying, for real crying, like ugly crying.
Ugly crying.
Yeah, if I start ugly crying, then please feel free. So, after being awarded the Queen Service Medal, I came home. I was on top of the world. I was on top of Mount Everest. I had reached the highest heights.
The highest.
There was no bragging on myself or that. I was just thought, man, this is so amazing.
Yeah.
And I was still dressed in my beautiful aloha and, you know, all this. I got home and some of the kids were in the sitting room and they were watching, you know, they were watching TV and that. And I saw on the bench that the dishes had not been done, Gary. And then I mentioned and I just said, oh, guys, these dishes, they haven't been done. And then all of a sudden, one of them goes, Dad, it's you're on dishes today. please don't laugh at my...
No.
This is really deep and personal for me.
With you the whole way.
There I am, Gladys and Gary, just received Queen Service Medal for services to Pacific community, doing the dishes with my beautiful medal and my beautiful aloha, doing the dishes.
But it was your turn.
Because it was my turn.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, it'll be somebody else's turn. You know what's so funny, G?
Keeping it real.
You know what's so funny? I get this compliment a lot. Again, it's not to people. Mm. Oh, you're funny. But you know, and this is 100%, my children, if they comment on this live and that, they'll go, yeah, it's true. I'll crack jokes at home.
Silence.
Exactly, there's silence. And I was like,
it's because they know you.
Yeah.
You're the dad.
One of the siblings, one of my kids will crack a joke and is like, ah! Everybody's laughing in there. And I'm going, guys, you know, I just come back from an event. People were saying I'm funny and that. And it's like, whatever, Dad. But in a way, that's good.
Yeah.
Keeps me grounded. Not that I have a big head after my mum. Sorry. That's another interview.
That's another interview. You're here with
Mum. I love you, Mum.
You're here with Mum, Brian Sangala. We'll be back. Here's a bit of Pacific Soul. Everything's going to be all right, Mum.
Yes.
It's all right.
That's why it's called counselling.
Yes. We're coming back to you very soon.
Love.
want to make it answer. Get a move out of your style. Why else? I come back like this. Many times that you want to get the news. Oh, my bad, I'm such a big, big home this. But I flex up because I always come in. Why else? Too basic in today's shit. Yeah, I'm stepping up. Stop feeling like this. Any time that you want to make it.
FM 104.6. That is Pacific Salt. Everything's going to be all right. It is all right because we're here with Ma'a Brian Sangala. It's been such a pleasure to have this Talanoa. On the very rare occasion that you have a break, has there ever been a time when you've said no?
Oh,
to an event?
Wow. Oh, I think it's the end of your program, but
no, it's okay. Not.
You know what? I suffer from not only imposter syndrome a lot, which is quite funny if you hear that and people go, but you are in the public eye of it. But hey, but I think it's also the people pleaser. It's the people pleaser in me. So I hardly say no, but I've got to get better at saying no.
Yeah.
But again, being my own boss now,
Yes. It's
there's not many times where I would say no.
Gotcha.
Because, for example, so leads will come through my website, briansangala.co.nz, and from there I'll get in touch with the prospective client and then we'll do a discovery call. I'll ask them details about their event and what they're looking for in the way of the MC, and then we'll talk about in terms of quotes and that, and then from there get an idea, and it's pretty much a quick process, either yes or no, but it's more on the client, whether I'm a good fit for their event versus me sort of turning down events.
Gosh, what advice would you to say to people who are considering coming into this career?
As an MC?
As an MC, as an event specialist?
There's a few things. If you're going to look at being an MC, you've got to earn it every single time. A lot of people will see the work that I do on stage, but I always use the analogy, G, about the duck or the swan above the waterline, graceful, smooth sailing. But underneath the waterline, that's where, you know, for example, with the event that I did this morning, that was maybe a few days of preparation.
Right.
And so I'm happy now where I'm at in terms of the way that I prepare. But regardless of the event, I always apply the same work ethic, regardless of the size of the event or that, for consistency. But also people know that when they hire me for their event, they're getting the very best of who I am. You have to earn it every single time. You have a service mentality. You're up on a stage and everybody's looking at you.
Mm.
Some people might be a child like, hey, everybody, take a look at me, you know, la, 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 la. But it's always, I believe, the best way is approaching it from a service mindset, in that you are servicing the vision of the event planners, organizers, the audience, with what you have been tasked with. So in my initial discussions with potential clients, we talk about vision. What are you looking for? What are your expectations of me as an MC? And then conversely, what are my expectations on the client? So you have that sort of strong foundation, but then preparation. You cannot ever prepare enough. And you've got to be prepared to be flexible and adaptable. Mm. Hundreds of events over 30-something years, G, not one has ever gone fully to plan, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because once you've settled on the run sheet, all the different parts of the event, come the day, if something happens, okay, but
okay, we've got to change it around. Speaker has turned up late. A speaker has last minute cancelled. Sure. A technical issue. That's where you have to come in, and you have to be the sort of the glue. You are the person that joins all the moving parts together, being adaptable in that. And just professionalism. So for example, for every event that I do, I'm there at least an hour before, an hour before on the day, meeting up with who's my runner, who's my stage manager, checking my microphone, doing all your technical checks and stuff like that, but also just getting there nice and early so you can center yourself in the space, in the venue, and prepare yourself physically, mentally, spiritually before it's go time. So those are just some of the things, but also just being, have fun in there. I believe as Pasifika, we offer so much. We're born entertainers. We come from a line of orators, warriors, all these great things, which I think, for me, actually helps enhance what I offer as an MC uniquely as a proud Samoan, as a proud Pacific, as a proud New Zealander, that I can bring all that to bear. And that's the thing. Also have the courage to be yourself on stage, not anyone else, but to be authentically and genuinely yourself.
Absolutely.
I'll crack a joke on stage, which I think is funny, and it's like, and I was like, and then I just move on.
Yes.
But it didn't land, but that's all good. We just carry on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How do you unwind?
Oh, that's a good one. Do you know what I do? We're in the NRL finals. So, Warriors are playing Penrith tonight. I think it's 6 o'clock. So I think it's their fifth or fourth finals home game in their whole history in there. So I like watching sports, going to the movies, spending time with the kids, traveling is a good one. So, for example, in January next year, I'm actually going to MC a wedding on the Gold Coast. So I thought, man, it'd be a great opportunity. Take an extra week. And then they have the family come over, and then we'll just do the theme parks. So, things like that. Yeah.
And I know you've talked about it. If you weren't doing this, what do you think you'd be doing?
Oh, I don't know. Mind you, I was doing it for 9 years.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if this didn't take off as I'd expected, well, I just do what I don't. There's no embarrassment or shame, especially our stage of life. It's like, well, if I've got to go back to doing whatever job, and I've done so many different jobs over the years, from cleaning, I was actually a cleaner.
Yeah.
I worked in customer services and that. And at one time, you're going to laugh at this, Gladys, Gary, I was actually a repo man.
Hey.
Yeah. I was a repo man. Shout out to my brother, Isaiah Matafai, Matafai.
A repo
man, I know.
That sounds dangerous.
Okay, so the thing is, as a repo man, the reason why I was actually successful is because I never tried to be a heavy. So, for example, one time I went and repoed a guitar. I repoed a guitar, and I was speaking with the man, quite a burly man, big that. But I was just myself. Oh, hi, I'm sorry, we have to, and he was fine. All fine. Oh, and then he goes, hey, man, thank you so much for just being respectful in that. I'm an ex-repo man myself. And I'm like, oh, well. And he goes, thank you for, just being respectful in that, because if you weren't, I would have knocked you out.
How nice of him.
But there were some gnarly moments in Mangere. I went to repo a car. Cars is our bread and butter. And so I went to repo it, and a gentleman, a European, I don't know what nationality, but I think Eastern European, just from his accent. Oi. And so I came and I said, sorry, we're going to repo. Sorry, we have to repo again. No, you're not. No. And then I went, I'm sorry, we have to, because, legally, I have the right at that time. And so I went to go forward. He goes, no, you're not coming. And then I just said, I'm sorry, sir, but I am going to come in. Sorry, please, if you can move. And he goes, no, I go in the house, I get my gun, I come and shoot you. And then he turned around and he started walking into the house. So he said that
turned around, and then he actually started walking into the house. And I'm thinking, usually if somebody says that, they just stand there. This guy, and he was in like his 60s or something, he just said it. And calmly, he just said, oh, no, I go get gun. I come, I shoot you in the, I shoot you. So he turned around, walked in, and I thought, I think he's actually for real. So I hopped in the car, and then I left that house. And then I asked someone else to go and do the job.
But you would have warned them, right? Of course you did.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course you did.
My memory's a bit hazy. My memory's a bit hazy, but I'm sure I did. I did. Yes.
We're talking about how can people make contact. You've already mentioned it, but refresh our memories. If people want to find out how they can hire your services, hire you, where do they find you?
So you can find me on all of my social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Ma'a Brian Sa'angala, or you can visit my website, briansa'angala.co.nz.
How do you keep the energy going when you're doing an event and you're looking out into that crowd and, you know, there might be some people who, you know, just, they look a little bit, you know, distracted. How do you boost that energy?
It's funny because this is a question that I get quite a bit as well. I think it's just me as a person that's just my makeup. I just have so much energy naturally. Even at 54, a lot of people go, are you 54?
I was going to say.
And it's usually followed by, you don't act 54. Like, I'll act your toes in a minute, but it's just me.
Yeah.
Naturally, I'm quite an energetic person. I have energy in that. And so I've done conferences where it's like 2-3 days and it's full on days.
Yeah.
And then on maybe the first or second night do dinners, I'm go right up until I go back home, or if I have accommodation organised by the event planners, it's just go back and then it's just have a drink of water and then unwind. But then the hard thing for me unwinding, it's because the, what am I thinking of? Not the dopamine or the adrenaline. When my adrenaline is up and that, it takes a long time to unwind. It's just because still buzzing from the event, buzzing from the moment, and then so it's da-da-da-da-da. But just being able to release and then relax and reset. Easier said than done sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Reset. Are we going to hear you back on the airwaves?
I was asked this question at another Telenor that recently, Gladys. And for me, I don't, never say never.
Absolutely.
But it's a season where I felt I had come to the end of that season when I was on 531. Funny thing is, I always say, oh, I didn't actually have much radio or any radio experience when I started in 2015. However, maybe it's just the way that the Lord orchestrated the circumstances. In the 90s, I was on Reo Tomotu. For any of our older listeners that remember Reo Tomotu, which is now the Radio Samoa frequency. So that was when Pale Sauni, Pua, Faleti, his son, they went on to Nisha Mystic fame, and that myself, there was brothers. We had Brian Marsh, Albert Weepani, Francis Stowers.
This is going way back.
Yeah, that's like 20 something years ago. We had a show which was called The Three Amigos, but there was four of us, so you figured that out. And then a few years after that, I was blessed to host the Saturday afternoon show at the time on Radio Samoa, which was the Crazy Kokonati. Yeah, you can tell who came up with that show. So that was me.
It's catchy.
Yeah. And then 2015 came along, thankful to Ulalema Mai, Te Wā Mata Whai.
Nice.
So at the time, around June, July 2015, I got a call, sort of out of the blue, hey, Matt Inileo, shout out to Matt Inileo, former host before me Pacific Breakfast. He was leaving, and Ula, she asked me, hey, do you want to do it? And I thought, oh, okay, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
And then started that whole 9-year period. I have like a 6-7 year cycle, but 5:31 PMN was actually the longest in terms of employment that I've done.
Yeah,
and yes, it was my most favourite of jobs, and again, just because I was able to highlight so many amazing stories, thousands of stories. Yeah. Gee, oh my gosh.
And the scope of how many people you've spoken to from all different facets.
I tell you, from a former Mexican mafia hitman, whose name was Rabbit, to WWF legend, a million-dollar man, to funeral directors who are trying to get water cremation introduced into New Zealand, to how many... The one I always love to share, because I think it's just so amazing, Matamua Loretta Washington, born and raised in Otara, and when I spoke with her in 2018, the highest ranking Polynesian officer in the US Armed Forces with the rank of Chief Master Sergeant. She was in charge of a naval base which served a community of 50,000. And then, of course, one that made waves. Mainstream everybody, Mr. Tristan Munna, who at the time I think was only 14 or 15 in 2018 or 2017. He was the first Kiwi Pacifica, I think Māori also, to win the Microsoft PowerPoint Global Competition. One of over 800,000 entrants globally, with a combined entry pool of over a million entries, and a kid from Avondale College won it.
Look at that.
Yeah. X7, Avcol, go for it, Gary. Sorry about you.
Did you go to Avondale? See, I'm
wearing,
my gosh,
you're married.
I'm kidding, I knew that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure I knew that. But enough about me. So you've just, the scope with which you've done so much, and I just wish we could continue to Talanoa, but all great things come to an end. Mm. Please impart on us, our listeners, your wisdom. What is the message that you want to put out there to the wider community? What's it all about?
I suppose there's maybe three quick things. One, for our young people, don't ever live down to the stereotypes purported, put on you by mainstream media, da-da-da-da. The next thing is...
We're getting better at that, though, right? We're getting better.
Of course.
Those things are...
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever gift you've been blessed with, pursue it to the nth degree. Whatever passions you have, and again, citing Matthew Ridge, it's not that I don't like, comments and that, but it doesn't stop me from pursuing my goals. So in terms of fear, don't let fear ever stop you from pursuing your dreams and your goals. Scripture, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And third, it's like a prayer that I always pray over my life, which I want to sort of declare over everyone that's listening in that. A prayer that I pray, Gladys, God, whatever you've put me on this earth for, before I pass from this earth, please fulfill everything.
Amen. And that's how it's done.
That's it. Yeah. That, and make sure to brush your teeth.
And floss.
And floss, yes.
It's the funny things that we come up with. Ma, remind us again, how do people get in contact with you?
Thank you so much, Gladys and Gary. So you can contact me, family, on my socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Ma'a Brian Sa'angala, or please visit my website, briansa'angala.co.nz. Thank you so much for the opportunity to tell and all, guys. So all the best for the show. Keep up the amazing work. Thank you.
Ma'a, such a pleasure. Love you. Be safe. God bless. It's Lakatani Highlanders. It's Pasifika Wai, connecting our voices. Bye. Na kailo e awe tonu ko e kakano fe. Tohi atu au ki a ko e kae na kai tau I mai. A ko ole atu no ani poke pe pe la. com.
diversity on air.